Okay, I guess we will call to order the Historic Preservation Commission for the Town of Curie Beach for November 18th, 2020. Do we have anybody present on the phone?
Tony.
Who?
Tony.
Tony, okay.
Yes, Tony Garrity from the bottom.
Great, okay. All right, so first item is adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, next item is the adoption of the minutes.
Don't forget you have to ask Kim.
Yes. Oh, verbal. You're right. Is there a motion to approve the adoption of the minutes?
Make a motion to adopt the minutes as written.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Tony?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Okay, next item is public comment. Do we have anybody?
No, nobody's on.
Beth, is there anybody for public comments on the phone? Okay, seeing nobody on the phone, we will go to agenda item number 5. And 5.1 is review the documents received from SWCA and proposed design guidelines for the HPC report. So, Mr. Eldridge, would you want to get started on this? Do you want to? Yeah, no, it's someone's got to get us started, obviously.
Well, let's see. If you proceed, let's do it this way. Turn to the first, or open up the first relevant thing you've got in your agenda packet. And that would be open up the Historic District Recommendations 11-3-2020. First thing you'll see is a purple and black document, the first one being Secretary of Interior Standards. You all have that?
Yes.
All right. So look, here's what we're doing. SWCA delivered its revisions to the designation report that we originally drafted. We need to reach a consensus. I'm going to go to something else in a second. We need to reach a consensus on those deliverables. Do they work? Do they need revision? Do we just plug them in? Second question, where do we plug them in? It looks to me like we plug them in at the end of the current draft before the inventory. Point three, the ending of the article. Where SWCA's document ends is abrupt. I think we need some sort of bridge wherever the report goes next, which I think is the inventory. The fourth thing we need to do is if you're satisfied with the report, if we reach a consensus on whether we have the final draft and where we plug in the deliverable that I just mentioned, then we need to turn our discussion to the design guidelines in that document that you opened up to that starts with Secretary of Interior Standards. Those are some guidelines that the chairman and I, with some input from the state agency, will discuss as a pretty complete template for what we need, for what HPC needs to adopt with a few changes. Perhaps these, if you adopt them, you'd probably be adopting them as we have been informed that many municipalities have, as a preliminary set of guidelines that you can refine later. But these apparently seem to work, and they're generic enough with some tweaking that they might indeed work. The point being, let's back up just a minute. HBC is going to handle the report and give it to PZC. Once PZC gets it, PZC is going to approach it as a text amendment process. They're going to draft text amendments to the zoning regulations in Chapter 15 for to review, to make a recommendation to council on. If council adopts them, then that is the designation of the historic district. So that takes care of designating the district. However, once the district is designated, you can't regulate it until you adopt guidelines. So that brings us back to this point that we're at in the presentation. In addition, we're going to need to revise your all's rules of procedure to set forth some clear guidance and provisions on how to conduct quasi-judicial hearings, because when a certificate, when an applicant for a COA, a certificate of appropriateness, comes before you for some major work on the exterior portion of properties within the historic district, that's going to be a quasi-judicial hearing. As a side note, you're going to need some training on that. But the point I'm making right now is you need to adopt rules of procedure. So if you should also have a memo up on your desk from me to you. Looks like this. Have you all got it?
Yes.
If you, first thing I want to draw your attention is we're going to have to determine what we're going to do and when we're going to do it. The first three paragraphs I've just summarized for you. I want you to drop down to the bold language in the third paragraph. In 2 weeks, you have your next regularly scheduled meeting. The agenda packets for that are actually going to be done before Thanksgiving, which is a week from today, or Thanksgiving Eve being a week from today. The proposed text amendments are not going to be a simple no-brainer knockoff. They're going to require some work on my part. So I'm not going to be able to do them in time for the next meeting. And there's other reasons for that. The case that I just won requires me to draft a major judgment about 12 pages long before the end of this month. So my hands are full, and I just don't think even under situations where my hands weren't full that we could meet a two-week deadline for drafting the Chapter 15 text amendment. So here's what I'm suggesting we do. If you go down to the bullets. Today's meeting, HPC considers the revisions to the report, reaches a consensus on the final draft of the report, and if there is a final draft, forwards that report to PZC with recommendation to draft the text amendments, turning the page. We can also begin to discuss the guidelines, which again is that document that we first opened up to. And they will require some revisions, but you all have to determine who's going to make those revisions. And I'll be the first to tell you that based on my experience before SWCA came in, I can talk all day long and all night long legally, but I cannot talk in an architectural narrative voice. So I'm not going to revise those guidelines. Somebody up there on the dais will have to do that. What I've recommended for the December HPC meeting is continued discussion if necessary, but be in a position to adopt those design guidelines. And then you see I dropped to January because of the Thanksgiving holiday and the Christmas holiday, my schedule, the abbreviated meeting schedule. I think we need that extra month. I'm open. It's your all's call how you want to proceed, but those are the circumstances that we would be dealing under. But anyway, if we go with a January timeline as indicated, first bullet, if needed, you all adopt the design guidelines. You discuss proposed text amendments to your rules of procedure for quasi-judicial hearing. The reason I have it like this is your rules of procedure require discussion a month before you vote on those guidelines. I've got a good template for those guidelines, so I'm not worried about producing them. They will take a little bit of time. In January, I've got PZC reviewing the proposed text amendments, making a recommendation to council, and adopting the consistency statement, just like we do for any zoning text amendment. And then in in council's January meeting, I've got them fixing the date for the February public hearing. There's another wrinkle there because of COVID. COVID requires that an additional 24 hours follows a public hearing for written comments. And that simply means that if you have your public hearing on day one, you're going to have to wait to another meeting besides meeting on day one to act on those text amendments, because after day one, the public has 24 hours to submit additional comments. So you've got to have either a special meeting or wait to your next regular meeting before council can act on those text amendments. So based on that, and assuming a subsequent regular meeting and not a subsequent special meeting, in February 2021, HPC adopts its rules of procedure amendments. Council conducts a public hearing, and then in March, council acts on the proposed text amendments, which were part of that public hearing. So tonight, let's deal with the report, figure out what, if anything, needs to be done, and who, if anybody's going to do it. Let's begin discussing the guidelines, which I think the chairman can handle pretty well. He's all over that issue. And then finally, let's talk about a realistic timeline. Any questions before I sit back down?
I do have a question. And somewhere at the beginning of this, we talked about HPC members being sort of assigned or volunteered rather than just P&Z, because once it does become a formal program, there should be some diversity in it and not just all of the P&Z members by default. Is that something that we should work into this timeline, or how does that
play? I think that's a policy decision between you and council, but if based on this timeline, if council doesn't adopt those text amendments until March, I think you've got plenty of time.
We've got until March to.
Okay. The only thing I would say is that I believe that given that the HPC meets before council, plenty of time. The only thing I think is that there could be a possibility that council could act on everything at their February meeting. In January they could set a early February public hearing, and then we could do whatever we need to do at our February meeting, and that would still give council time for their February meeting to act. But other than that, I agree with everything else.
All right, let's make sure we're all on the same page. I've got PZC reviewing text amendments in January.
Right.
I've got council, when they meet in January, fixing the public hearing date.
Right, and they could fix it for...
In other words, you're saying let's have a special meeting for the public hearing and then have...
Well, council would set a special meeting for a public hearing, I assume.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, now they would set a special meeting, because that's typically, for something as important than this, I could see them doing that.
That's to get them in position to act with finality in February instead of...
Yeah, March. But it'd be up to council, obviously, right, if they wanted to do that or
that's
do it.
That's where you're coming from.
Yeah.
They'll probably schedule it right before their council meeting.
Then we would have to do it according to this process.
If they said immediately prior to their, then we fall back on this schedule unless you have another special meeting because of the COVID 24-hour delay.
Yeah.
Understood?
Yeah, I don't think of, I mean, certainly this works with me. We've been doing this for 9 months, so, it's certainly... One of the things I want to make sure that we do, that based upon that conversation that we had with the state, is I do believe that there is a danger of recommending and adopting the historic district without the design guidelines. I think that would create a window where there might be a problem. So I'm all for packaging the whole deal together, I think we're talking about right now.
A couple of points on that. I think this timeline certainly provides for let's start at the beginning. It's HPC's task to adopt the guidelines.
Yes.
PZC doesn't enter into that at all.
Right.
And this suggested timeline certainly HPC can be in position to adopt those guidelines in the December meeting, depending on the
But it would still have to be approved by council. No, it doesn't?
No. The creation of the guidelines is an HPC function from top to bottom. Nobody else looks at it. Nobody else acts on it.
Okay. I would certainly recommend that the HPC hold a public hearing before we adopt guidelines. You know, I think the council would kind of expect that.
Well, that was a question I had, whether it's HPC or ECC, whether you all wanted to, whether either of those commissions wanted to conduct a public hearing before it got into the actual task of reviewing and reporting on the text amendments. I did have that question.
Yeah. I mean, personally, as long as the council does it, you know, certainly the public hearing for the adoption of the text amendment related to the historic overlay district. But since the design guidelines don't technically have to go through that process, I do think it'd be appropriate to have a public hearing related to design guidelines.
Well, in the way this timeline is set up, we could reach a consensus on the on those text amendments. Design guidelines, have your public hearing in December or January, and again, we are also stuck with that 24-hour delay in terms of acting, so you're going to have the public hearing a month before the meeting where you adopt them.
Okay.
I do think that's a good idea. It gives us an opportunity to cut anything off before it goes to public hearing in front of council.
Right.
So, no, before we leave that subject, if you could plug in the HPC public hearing for December and still be in position in January to adopt them before council even has a public hearing, which is what I want. I do think the HPC adoption is going to occur pretty quickly. So a public hearing by HPC on the design guidelines.
I mean, certainly if we can look at a very simple design set of design guidelines like we're proposing here, I think we could have that in December.
I agree with that. I think that makes sense. And again, it gives us an opportunity to address any public concerns before council has to.
I agree.
I hear rumblings from staff.
Yeah, was the public hearing to be held in December or scheduled in December?
I don't have enough time for them to have a public hearing in December now.
I mean, 2 weeks, and that's business days and holidays.
Yeah, I would say January is fine. That still gives us plenty of time to have it a month and a half prior to going to council.
No, we were saying January is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the holidays, I won't have enough days.
Thanks for getting that. So, discussions tonight on the guidelines, continued discussion and finalization of the proposed guidelines in December, public hearing by HPC in January. So then in February, HPC adopts not only amendments to the rules of procedure, but adopts the guidelines. Is that what we're saying? Again, because of the COVID legislation, unless you have a second meeting in January, you cannot act on the design guidelines on the same meeting that you have that public hearing. So would that push the adoption of the design guidelines to March? I mean, to February? If you have
I don't see why not. I mean, we can package them.
We could package the quasi-judicial text amendments and design guidelines for February. I'm just trying to...
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Regarding the kind of the points that need to be done, looking and reading this yesterday and looking at it again now based upon your conversation, you know, I think this reads well. I think it's going to be fairly easy to cut and paste this into the existing document.
Did you give some thought to where it looked to me?
I believe there's 2 points. One is that the first half of what she did really would end up more at the front end because it's talking about the history of Curie Beach and that sort of thing. And then the architectural narrative and the integrity and the architectural narrative would be later.
Okay. Would you agree that those two sections should close out that part of the report?
Yeah, you know, I would put it before the inventory.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, no, it's because the inventory is kind of the back end. But I would say certainly the front, because there's some of this information already, so it would have to be interwoven with the existing information. When you look at the summary statement and the historical narrative, the integrity and the architectural narrative is pretty much a cut and paste prior to the inventory, I would say. And I, since I worked extensively on that, and it was my research assistant that did it, the intern, I would be glad to take this and cut and paste it and then present it the next council or the next HPC meeting, the combined document.
And include the two maps that you presented?
Yes, yes.
And jettison the original map.
Right. Is this, I assume there's a JPEG version of this map, is that what it is? Okay, yeah. So I'd have to get that.
It opens up as a photo.
Okay. Yeah, so I would be glad to take the responsibility for that, as long as I get the calendar right as to what day we're showing up. But you know, I'd be glad to do that and bring that to the December HPC meeting.
Okay.
I mean, is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Tony, is that okay with you?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. The second item that we could either talk about tonight or not is the secretary, the design guidelines. And I think I said it out that when you're looking at design guidelines, we could end up with 30 pages of design guidelines. We could get very specific. And the state recommended as maybe a short-term solution, or possibly this would work for long-term, but certainly a short-term solution is to take the Secretary of Interior's standards and use this as the design guidelines when we become a historic district. Now, some of these, the language have to change slightly, you know, for Curie Beach, and because some of this has more building-specific sort of thing.
Most of it is building-specific. Yeah, I mean, I didn't see anything in these standards in my mind that we were looking at to get a global feeling of a historical area. This is, to me, these are all building specific.
I would, when I read this, I would tend to agree with you. In fact, yeah. I think we even talked about that.
And that's not what we were going after, I thought.
Well, but the only way to control the atmosphere is to control the what's done to the exterior of the structures in there.
Yeah.
There's no other way to regulate that. I mean, you're not talking about planting certain things or erecting certain things. You're talking right. about trying to preserve what she thinks are the architectural features, and that's done through the design guidelines. Don't know what else you can
do. No, and I hear what you're saying. This would just be a stopgap, you know, I think for a very short term to get a situation, because we can't enforce anything. We can't even have a COA process until we have some design guidelines in place. So I think the recommendation of the state is that we do something like this, very, very simple, and adopt this at the same time that we become a historic district in order to prevent a situation happening where a developer would see that we're a historic district, we can't enforce it, then all of a sudden they submit something for a development that we would have to let go forward.
Let me play devil's advocate for a minute. And some of this may be because I'm not sure any of you have had the experience. I've had significant experience with quasi-judicial proceedings. Somebody's going to apply for a COA, and that COA, to grant that COA, it has to conform to the guidelines. Now, in a quasi-judicial hearing, the burden...
God bless you.
I got an objection one time in a quasi-judicial hearing that was absolutely, precisely correct. A quasi-judicial hearing is much more like a trial than a public hearing. The applicant comes in and has to present testimonial and documentary evidence that he or she is meeting the guidelines. And depending on the ruling of the HPC in this case, could be appealed to the Board of Adjustment, but ultimately it can end up in Superior Court. So the trouble, one of the negative aspects of these guidelines, and I'm going to make a suggestion in a minute that just occurred to me, they're so generic and they're so open-ended that if I was a developer and I came in and I was turned down, I would argue that these are somewhat arbitrary and capricious because mm-hmm. I put forth evidence that I thought satisfied these general criteria and you didn't. There's a when you're broad and general and generic and non-specific, you leave yourself open to challenge. So consider this possibility. What if, and I'm just making this up, what if for a fee that was in the budget that we could live with, recollect that I think $2,000 is less than whatever was yeah. allocated, what if we tweak these guidelines to the extent that we can and give them back to April to plug in two or three specific provisions that dovetail into the features that she noted in her narrative? In other words, let's keep it generic for our purposes, but give it to her to come up with two or three specific matters to mitigate against the risk that I just outlined.
I mean, I don't have, we do have $2,000, you know, from what I understand. That was in John's budget. You know, we spent three.
Yeah, and I think we have two left. Based on our prior negotiations with her, we went back and said, April, we're going to do something generic at first, and we're going to go with these, which I'm sure you're familiar with, but at the same time, we need a little meat on the bones. Can you come up, based on your architectural narrative, with two or three more detailed provisions in exchange for a flat fee of $2,000? I think she could.
Beth, here's a question. Can we do that, or does that have to go out for kind of an open bid and review process? Can we go back?
No, this is not subject to
It's not.
Yeah, we did that last talking.
Okay. I mean, that's certainly fine with me. We could give her this and simply say, this is what, I mean, this is, we all agree this is too generic and, you know, right now, you've got some narrative. Can you spend some time within the $2,000 limit to try to provide us with a set of, you know, not 20 pages, but a set of reasonable design guidelines that we could use for the short term.
Well, and also mentioned that using that as the primary template so she doesn't think she's reinventing the wheel.
Right.
Such a minimal fee. Look, you've got a good working relationship with her. Do you mind making that call?
No, I don't mind doing that at all. If that's, again, okay with...
Jim, do you think that we need to go to council for approval on the $2,000 addition?
It's my understanding that the $5,000 allocated for the
It is car. Allocated, but they approved the last bid for the map and the narrative.
That's the question you can probably answer better than me.
Well, I mean, we went for approval on the last part.
So it's in the budget, but specific expenditure should be approved.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Do you feel comfortable polling them? I hate to wait till December 14th. To get that ball rolling, because then we couldn't go back to April until after the middle of next month.
I could be completely wrong, but the way I remember it was we did have this conversation just like this, and then it was somebody realized, well, the $5,000 is already allocated, and so then we just agreed as
right, but you're entering into another contract on the town's behalf by offering her $2,000 to do this, and we can't do that without council.
Yeah, I mean, none of us have the authority to enter into a contract.
And the mayor will sign the contract just like he did the last one.
Yes, I can poll council.
You can poll that?
Yes.
All right, then why don't we, that'd be my suggestion, so that they could be in position to authorize, and then once, if the poll supported us, he can follow up with April and get her green light. We can bring it back to council on the 14th for the mayor to authorize an entry into. Does that work for you?
Yeah, that's fine. I can send it out tomorrow.
Okay.
That's the right number, 2001.
So for the $2,000, what she'll do is she'll use this as a template But we all recognize, I think, as we recognize that this doesn't really work. It's too build. It's building specific. We need something more district specific related to her architectural narrative. It doesn't have to be long, but it has to fit with what we're trying to do.
And that you're sure she can build on what's already there.
Within the architectural narrative, yeah.
Before you offer her $2,000, if you don't mind, please ask her to tell you what it would cost.
Right, I agree with John.
Okay. She can do it for $500.
Right.
Oh. There you go.
Thank you.
That's fine with me, yeah.
That's a good point.
Good point.
Yeah, you can certainly ask that, say, what do you do it for?
Yeah, I mean, we're really only talking maybe about a two-page right. thing, so. No, I'll be glad to do that.
Or
but
she may say, you want edits to what I've done? Sure, send it back.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you could poll and see if it's okay, then I can talk to her and see what she would charge to modify this, and if it's $2,000 or under, I'll say it sounds good, but I won't suggest $2,000. I'll listen to her first.
I mean, I would rather go to council with a specific amount. It literally takes me a day to get everyone to respond.
So you want me to talk first?
I would say maximum $2,000.
Well, let's let Craig make the phone call first.
Yeah.
So you want me to get a specific number, and then you'll poll the council. Okay.
Yeah, they respond pretty quick. I email them, and then I text them.
Okay.
And let them know to respond to me ASAP.
If she goes over $2,000, you got
to
make sure.
Well, I'll tell her that we can't. If she comes back and says $3,000, I say, just between you and me, it's not going to happen at $3,000.
Right.
You know, it'll happen at $2,000 because that's what we have the budget. And I think she is aware of the budget too. I think that somewhere along the line,
she may have forgotten.
Yeah.
She may have forgotten, but if you can just get a number and then I'll call council.
That's fine. Okay. The final thing we want to kind of talk about is the certificate of appropriateness process. Way back when we started this, I went back and I found this, and I thought this was a pretty reasonable thing to start with, where it identifies the sort of things that are done and whether there's a review and or whether it's no review or whether it's a staff review or whether it goes to the Historic Preservation Commission for a COA. And I don't think we need to talk about this now, but it's something that we probably do want to go through in more detail in our December meeting.
I would say that the approach in that matrix is, as you say, to let minor work be handled administratively or by a quasi-judicial hearing. So I think that approach is sound. My only other comment is, does anybody know if that matrix exists in a Word doc format? Because I would take, once you all figure out what you want to use in there, I would include in the text amendment.
Right. I can track it down and see where I got this from.
And it's not that big.
And the only thing I would ask is maybe, John, if you could look at that matrix, because some of the terms in there may not be quite appropriate for Curie Beach, or we may want to add some. It talks about decks with a maximum height. I mean, some of the stuff may not be necessary because we have other ordinances and regulations dealing with some of these issues.
Was this table in a PDF, or where did this
It was either a JPEG or a PDF file. I don't know what it was.
Well, I can work with it. I've got it.
It's something I found a year ago. Yeah. I just dug it out of my emails.
It'll be a good fit once we tweak it.
What is John's role in this certificate of appreciation? John's?
He would be the staff review.
He would be staff review.
He'd be staff review.
So
to be precise, perhaps with the exception of reviewing the application, John doesn't have a role in the certificate process, because that's a quasi-judicial hearing that you all conduct. He might review the application for sufficiency, but beyond that, it's totally you.
Well, of course,
minor work that's not covered in the COA, then he'd be providing the administrative approval.
So they don't, the COA is not issued for minor work?
I think we can create that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Just by the word minor,
Okay.
So all these things that are marked minor, and I realize this list may shrink and it may be reworded,
right.
But So that would be all on John's to approve. Now, would it have to come back to us? He would approve it? And
I think this approach of minor versus major, administrative versus quasi-judicial, I think that's a sound approach. I need to confirm that.
Okay.
But once confirmed, we will write it correctly. But in my opinion, if the administrative approval option is available for minor work, HPC is not involved in that to any degree.
Yeah.
But anything of these COAs that require construction or destruction, then John would still have to get involved with that to advise us.
No, no? That's a crucial, critical point. In a quasi-judicial hearing, the applicant has a fundamental due process right to an impartial decision maker, meaning that you cannot get any formulation of an opinion of how you might rule before the hearing. You have to base your decision strictly on the evidence that's presented. And in any municipality, when a quasi-judicial hearing, including here for the Board of Adjustment, there are no opinions from or recommendations from staff. It is staff says, here's what you got to do, and here's the application, and here's what you got to do, and let us know how you decide.
That usually means that you do not talk amongst yourselves about the application or the staff member prior to you.
And it usually means you don't do any homework on the subject prior to the hearing.
Wow.
The concept is
or adjacent property owners.
Right.
Yeah. Or any other individuals.
What? Look at yourself as a judge and somebody's in front of you to prove their case. That's what it is.
This may be. If we approve something that's not in code, what happens then?
What?
If we approve something that's not in the construction or is not allowed by code.
Hang on.
Okay. I'm missing something.
For a COA, the application would have to conform to any underlying code.
Okay. So the application will have.
This is an architectural design issue that we're looking at. These are all design issues.
Somebody coming in with a subdivision plat, not only do they need to comply with the subdivision requirements, but also the applicable zoning requirements. So that's always the case.
So I think we can look at this, John. You can look at this matrix, and because you're going to be far more familiar with what would be represent major versus minor versus routine maintenance. You know, I think so. If it's okay with the commission, we can talk about this in our December meeting.
I wanted to see
in more detail.
Try to get some examples.
Yeah, and you know, I might even find other matrix that work better than this. I mean, I just found this one.
Did you have some follow-up comments? You look like you're still mulling that.
No. I think what Craig said is good, and then come up with. I'll try to come up with some layman examples of somebody doing something and then coming to us and make sure that it's in. But John's point about it is a unique, separate, everybody, you just don't get together. You got to make your decision at that point is well taken.
And I think I indicated, I'd be the first to tell you that lay people on a local government board, quasi-judicial proceedings are difficult to get your head around unless you do it on a day-to-day basis. So there's usually training and follow-up training, but if you just consider yourselves the judge and there's no jury, you're halfway there. You have all that power.
And Beth, when is my term up?
That brings us to the other issue as to whether we want to recommend that the P&Z act as this commission or the P&Z plus other people or the council appoints whoever they want.
I mean,
we need to bring that next. Yeah, I think that into this.
I can see arguments both ways, to be honest.
I can as well, but I think when we started, we were discussing having the possibility of, and I'm not saying I don't want to do it, I'm just saying there was discussion about having other people involved, especially because of this process.
Or it might do something like the land use committee where you have two members from P&Z and, you know, two members from something else.
And I do very much like the minor and major work here. I think there's a lot of this can be handled simply and efficiently where it's minor and not need to go through a process for somebody who's just changing something relatively insignificant.
Right.
So I do like this process. I do think we've got to clean this up.
You know, I'll see if I can find some other examples too. I mean, this is just one I found that I thought was pretty good. I think it might come out of Raleigh. This might be a Raleigh one. Okay.
So it would help me if we can just summarize. You're going to follow up with April and then follow up with
me. Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'll follow up with April and get a sense as to her cost projection to come up with some design guidelines based using a template like what we have with the Secretary of Interior. Second thing I will do is then I'll go ahead and do the cut and paste, the first draft cut and paste of what we've been given by April, and have that for our December meeting.
And so in December, I have to go back and look at my notes, we're going to finalize the report. And then in January, it'd be great if, the other thing you got to check with April is when she could deliver.
Right.
If we go forward, because again, council moved up to 12-14, is that right? It'd be great if HB's, you meet before council does.
I will talk to her tomorrow, and if I get a response, you know, I'll probably send it via email so she can see what the design, what the Secretary of Interior looks like. So I'll shoot her an email.
What I'm wondering is, it doesn't look like we're going to get a handle. Well, HPC will not get a handle on the final guidelines in December simply because council needs to authorize before we go forward.
Right.
Council doesn't meet the 414. Does that... So if you stick to what we originally discussed, you would have a public hearing and adopt the guidelines in January. My question is, you may not have the guidelines until then. Do you want to...
I'd say all... You know, I don't think we have to choreograph it too much. You know, I think we need to have an outline about what we're trying to do, but if something pushes it back a month, I think that's fine.
Okay. That makes sense.
Do we even need those guidelines for a public hearing? Because it's more about public input, right? So it's...
Well, I think if you limit it to the guidelines, that keeps it from opening up to the historic district in general. Again, council will have that. I mean, maybe that's what you all want to do, but I think leaving the... You're going to hear about it anyway if it's a red button issue. But I think limiting the public hearing to the design guidelines narrows things down, particularly since council will have a public hearing on the whole concept of the historic district to begin with. But you all may see that differently. You may want to open up the public hearing more broadly at the HPC level. That's your all call.
Yeah, I think we can do it by the March. I can't see us doing any faster than March, you know, to have it all completed.
Do you want to limit HPC's public hearing to the guidelines or the whole concept?
I would probably just limit it to the guidelines because that's what's going to...
That's what everybody has to work on.
That's what everybody has to work on. I personally don't think it's going to be a big problem because at the very beginning when we started this process and we did have property owners come in, that seemed to be the major issue. They wanted to make sure that we weren't going to tell them what they could do on their interior. I remember several people raising that issue. So I think really the design guidelines are the key things that people can try to understand whether they can live under or not.
We're not expecting to have that until our January meeting.
We may have a public hearing in February then. I just don't know.
Exactly.
Have we ever provided a definition of the historical district? I mean, an official?
I don't know that you...
Or do we need to?
2 points. One, the concept of what amounts to a historical district is set forth in statute, which gives you, there's not a definition, but it says you can designate a district, historic district based on atmosphere, feeling, architecture. I mean, it's a fuzzy list, so there's that. Then the second thing I would say is, if those are the statutory elements, I guess they avoid a definition because it could be different under different circumstances.
Right, and then, yeah.
So what the other place you would look is to the narrative in the designation report, which is what we hired April for. So those two things together is how Curry Beach would define its historic district.
Yes, that's what I was saying. Do we,
okay. But I don't think there's a definition per se.
Okay.
Okay, is that the plan?
That's the plan.
That's the plan, okay.
For me, maybe your longest HPC.
We'll probably have some longer ones.
And we could have new business.
Any new business? Moving on to item number 6. Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Tony?
Aye.
Very good.
Okay. Aye.
Do we want to take a 5-minute break now, or do we want to move right into P&Z?